Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk all things electric vehicles and technology. My name is Eric. Chase is here and Will is back.
What's
with
up?
Us. So, Will, you're feeling better?
Anybody's had bronchitis will tell you it's like there's feeling better and then there's like feeling like it's gone and they're like a month apart. So I'm feeling better, but I'm still coughing an obnoxious amount.
Well, we're happy to have you. As much fun as we had, Chase, I think we could both agree it wasn't the same.
Wasn't the
with
same.
Will missing. So we're happy.
Cheers
you're feeling
that.
Good enough to be back. So,
yeah.
Well, I wanted to kind of get into. I mean, I think we got a full plate today. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was this report that Cybertruck or Tesla's asking some Cybertruck owners to swap out a motor, drive unit, drivetrain. That's something that's been going out. Here's kind of a little report. And then also one of our famous YouTube Tesla guys, Kyle Connor, posted this, which is a screenshot of his service ticket with Tesla. And down here, it states that they're conducting a study on the drive units and early Cybertruck vehicles, and your vehicle has been selected to participate at your next service visit. And at no cost to you, Tesla will replace one of your current drive units with the latest production pedigree, which is intended to improve efficiency and reliability. Note that this is not a cause for concern and that your vehicle is safe to continue driving in the meantime. So I found that really interesting because one of the things that I'm always kind of telling people is the fact that the Cybertruck hasn't been fine-tuned yet, right? The batteries haven't been really dialed in. The Cybertruck as a whole hasn't been dialed in. And I think this is kind of showing that Tesla is agreeing to that, that it's not dialed in, it's not as efficient as they would want it to be, and there's some improvement there, and this is one way they can do it. Now, I don't know if this is going to now turn into a thing where every Cybertruck, at least with the older drive units, are going to get a replacement, but I find it interesting that they're doing this, and I'm actually hoping it does help with it with efficiency and reliability.
Is this for the Cyber Beast?
I can get a new one. Kyle has a Cyber Beast, but from what I understand, this is all early Cybertrucks.
Oh, okay.
That
kind of narrows it down, though, because if they're asking Cyber Beast and Cybertruck all wheel drive, then that's the same drive unit. Because, I mean, the Cyber Beast is motor, right?
Yes.
Not quite. So the dual motor...
That's right. You talked about this.
Dual motor's rear motor. Yeah, the rear motor on the dual is the same as the front on the Beast. And the back motors are completely new on the Beast. So I didn't realize that he had a Beast. So that would actually make it more interesting and kind of better in their case, optics-wise. That they're only reaching out to Cyber Beasts because those are new motors that they don't have on other vehicles at mass. But yeah, it still raises so many questions because, and I was just thinking, reading it back this time before I first started about this, is that they're conducting a study. So obviously they want to see kind of like real world wear and tear on those motors,
yeah,
or on the motor, yeah, whichever one they're talking about, to see what's going on. Now, I guess the question is, if they're talking about the front motor of his Cyber Beast, then it's the same as the all wheel. So that is raises more questions. But if they're talking about the rear motor or motors from the Cyber Beast, then it could be more interesting. But yeah, either way, it raises a lot, yeah, of questions. Like, a lot of haters were jumping on this to be like, oh, this is why you never buy first round of Teslas. It's all this other stuff. It's like, oh, okay. But I don't know. Face value, it could be just they're wanting to study real world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one.
Or it could be more nefarious. We don't know.
What do they say? You know, one data point does not create a trend. So, I mean, you know, hearing that they're doing this for some owners as opposed to like a full blown recall or something, I mean, you know, you could just take them at the face value of being like, yeah, you know what? We sold some of the early ones and, you know, their efficiency isn't matching up to the ones that we're building later. So we want to look into it for you guys. That's why we contacted you, you know?
But if that's the case, they're building newer Cybertrucks with the newer version of the motor, then when did that happen? You know, at what VIN,
yeah,
did they switch? Yeah. Or did they switch?
Is it a different motor or is it some build process of the motor that they just need to go back and, we have a quick fix for it that brings it up to spec, yeah, for the other vehicles, you know?
Here's a random thought. Sorry, Eric. But
no, that's correct.
Because we still have the single motor coming.
Mm-hmm.
Single motor. But I'm wondering if they would use a single version of the Cyber Beast motor for the single motor, because it is a more beefy motor than what we have even on the dual. Or would, yeah, they just give one dual motor? Because that seems like the worst case where it's the slowest, but.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see which motor are they putting in the single,
yeah,
motor.
Yeah.
What I was going to say was that I have some things I need to get fixed on my Cybertruck, just minor cosmetic things, right? Like, for instance, on my front passenger door, the LED strip is kind of, I always thought it was like a little dirty, mm-hmm, but I don't know, maybe a month. 6 weeks ago, I went to like clean it and I noticed, no, there's some little chips in it. So, so it's just small little things like that. Right. But I actually yesterday reached out to one of the service reps over here near me, and I mentioned the drive unit and the motor. And I just kind of said, hey, if that's something that I can put in my truck, you know, I'm willing to be a participant,
yeah,
type of thing. He hasn't let me know whether or not they could do that. But if they do, or even when I go to just service, I'll ask them if they know, if they have any information, which I think we can all say with confidence they probably don't. But I'll ask them and just kind of try to find out which motor. Is it Cyber Beast only?
So here's a tinfoil hat for super, super early in the show. But Imagine that, you know, the same, you know, back during pedalgate, back during the sliding facade on top of the throttle coming loose, there must have been a part
pedalgate which took,
yeah,
many,
I know,
lives.
I mean, just, oh my god, do you guys remember surviving? It was COVID and then pedalgate. It was awful.
I remember
some of the rumors or talks was that it was like, yeah, some of the early installation methods, somebody used, you know, soap to help with the getting it into place, and then it would mess with the adhesives, so therefore something. I wonder if this is the result of Tesla kind of going back and being like, okay, what other like little things did people come up with to help make their job easier but could create another risk? Maybe we need to go back and do an evaluation of what little foibles might exist, and maybe there's one where they're just kind of like, you should look at the drive unit. I mean, and I wonder if that's a part of it, but tinfoil hat off.
Yeah. I wish we can find things like that out.
This is the internet, Eric. All right. This is built for wild speculation, dangerous speculation,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know, we're just, yeah, doing our part. All right. This...
exactly.
This
we're,
is how we
we're...
find out.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, we raise these concerns, and, you know, Tesla, you know, because they have direct, they have our emails, and they'll email us in the morning and let us know.
Oh my goodness, that was a whole another one that happened. You guys, sorry to jump in, but the Lamar MK story.
No,
did you guys see that?
No,
where his Cybertruck got it was bricked, and he couldn't get into it, and like it was late at night, and he was like, what's going on?" So he started putting videos on X and YouTube and whatnot. And then eventually in the morning, he got it to the service center. And then I think at one point Elon had like responded, and like minutes after Elon responded, the service center had like unlocked it and was able to get into it, and everything expedited much faster than that. So it was very interesting. Could definitely look it up on X for Lamar MK.
Interesting. Let's see here. I wanted to also get into, you know what? Let's get into, I know we have some of that hate stuff, but let's get into the, let's get into the Rivian stuff real quick. So one thing that I thought that was pretty interesting, but, Will being our resident, Rivian owner, you know, had some quick thoughts on this, but apparently, Rivian has filed a patent for Genius UWB enabled accessory for dog lovers. So essentially, it detects your furry friend, and has all these different features that kind of make transporting your furry friend a little bit more enjoyable.
Huh.
What say you, Will, since you,
I mean, I get, you know, I'm not so much of a dog lover that I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, I love dogs and this seems like cool features. I'm more about the technology of it. And I mean, the idea of having ultra wideband enabled, tags that, okay, so it's on your dog, but then like, I mean, you know, imagine if you need to give access to your car, to your kids. On just a day-to-day basis, but you're not like immediately right near them. And they have an Apple Watch that, you know, ultra wideband enabled or some sort of simple app that allows them to just get in and out of your car without being like, all right, here, take my phone out there. And all right, cool. And then bring it back. Just seeing this kind of thinking. I mean, the dog's sitting on the gear tunnel. So my first thought was like, okay, so if the dog just wants to jump inside of the gear tunnel, he just approaches and the thing's like, my lady, you know, just lets him in.
Yeah.
I do like, so yeah, the one patent, the bottom right one, looks like a more of a steep kneel mode to assist elderly dogs using a ramp or something getting in.
Squat.
Where does the ramp come from?
You know, aftermarket. You know.
No, but I mean, it's like, you know, the dog approaches and like a ramp, you know, automatically slides.
If you've already got an elderly dog, chances are you're not just like running around with a ramp behind you, you know.
Yeah.
As long as I can get a Rivian branded leash for my kids, that's all I care about.
That, for some reason, that made me think of something. So, like, yeah, somebody had found in the Rivian gear store, they were selling shorts for like $215. Did you see that? I think that they just posted like the Rivian subreddit or something. But yeah, somebody had found like a pair of adventurer Rivian branded shorts, you know, long outdoorsy hiking type shorts. Yeah, they were like $200. It's nonsense.
High speed.
You also mentioned, Will, that there are some updates and improvements coming along for the new Gen 2 Rivian, the R1s.
So just to inform everybody. So it looks like they're rolling out a new evolution of their Driver Plus platform. So, you know, Tesla has full self-driving or FSD or whatever, EAP, all the different, LMNOP. But, you know, so far Rivian's doing a good job not like diluting it too much. So they had Driver Plus, but now they're rolling out an autonomy platform. So it's just called Rivian Autonomy Platform, or RAP, I guess, you know, whatever. And I guess it has the lane change on command. So I'm trying to remember how far back full self-driving was, you actually had to activate the stalk to lane change. I want to say that was Navigate on Autopilot, the early days of it, because it still required driver command for the lane change. So it looks like that technology is finally coming to the Rivian autonomy platform. You know, there's a bunch of other fun things with it. I was looking at there's new ways to unlock the vehicle, some of that other stuff. But I think that the Rivian autonomy platform kind of was the big thing, because, and this is something that's already kind of creating a bit of a ripple effect. You know that Tesla has the premium connectivity that you pay $100 a year for, and it just gives premium connectivity access, which includes traffic in the maps and something else. There's like one other thing, but you know that. What is it?
Or just like the just yeah the
yeah
just, or
yeah I think that just for the Teslas, I think it was literally just like traffic, like live traffic, like that was the main thing or something. But now, and that was $99 a year. So Rivian is now introducing a subscription system for their connectivity as well. And as the Rivians have.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
A hotspot that runs off of AT&T or MVNOs through AT&T. And that one's, yeah, it's for $150 a month. You get auto hotspot in the car. But now it also enables you to have access to their Rivian autonomy platform. If you don't pay the subscription, all you get is the basically the glorified cruise control, where it just maintains the lane and struggles to do so a lot, seriously, compared to the Teslas. But the autonomy platform seems to be there. I'm curious to see what the performance of the actual lane guidance system, if it improves under this, or if it's just a feature expansion under what they already have. But I think the ripples that it was creating was because Rivian folks are already being like, oh, I don't know like where this is going. I'm going to pay an annual subscription to use my car. And it's like, well, you're going to pay an annual subscription to have it data linked and be enabled to do this one thing. You can still drive it. They're not taking the keys from you. But the $150 versus Tesla is $100. But of course, Tesla back in the day, you know, you had autopilot features, but you had up until full self-driving, they started fragmenting it. Versus Rivian, now this seems to be that first step towards, okay, are you going to keep the features you have or have the new cutting edge? And then what's going to be the cost in the future if they expand their autonomy levels or license it elsewhere?
I'm assuming all of this is going to the new VWs, right, in the future? This is part of the
I personally would be wildly surprised if VW was not much further along the whatever autonomy pursuits they have. I think they probably are further along than Rivian is. Like from what I've read online, you know, Comma AI's ADAS system is practically almost as good as Tesla to the average person using Rivian's Driver Plus. I'm kind of hoping that it's like, okay, for $150 for the year, it's a sweet deal, because I want to see where they're going with their autonomy. But I really hope it's better, because what I have right now with it is just kind of a frustrating cruise control at times. I drove to Baker and back yesterday to run an errand for a friend. And on the way back, I was getting this repeated error about it not knowing the road. I'm like, we just drove through here. I've driven you back from Vegas in this work. Like, what the hell? So, and even at its worst, Tesla wasn't even that bad. So,
curious about that VW partnership, because I'm kind of wondering, like, yeah, what are both parties getting out of this? It's almost like Rivian needs help getting to mass production. I think they could get that possibly from VW, but also VW needs help in the EV space, and they could get that from Rivian.
I really think that it's a lot of battery technology that Tesla bought up mid to 2010s, Tesla was buying up battery tech like crazy. You can look back through all their there's a Wikipedia page of all of Tesla's acquisitions. I think like 20% of it is battery technology. And so they bought up a lot of the battery tech companies and startups that showed promise, and they integrated it into their cars. Rivian, I will say this for my car is that I always used to live off of the battery percentage. That's kind of how I drove the car, whether it was empty or full. A lot of people live by the estimates. You know, they get into their car and like, oh, I've got 300 miles. I got all day. Or, oh, this thing's only got 15 miles. I'm screwed. Like, they trust that efficiency. In my experience, Teslas were within range, but not like I'm willing to bet my sitting on the side of the road somewhere on it. Versus the Rivians, I feel like I could pull out a tape measure and measure exactly how far that car thinks it's going to go, and it'll match it. It's that good. I think that it's because a lot of the Tesla drive feel has a little bit more pep and a little bit less efficiency because of that. Versus the Rivian being like, no, we don't go too fast around here. Just enjoy, go have a good day. and it's
we're on that.
Yeah, adventure. Yeah, exactly. You're off roading. You do not need to exceed like 20 miles an hour, I think. So that's just kind of the vibe.
Well, I think we talked about it already, but we're excited about that. I'm excited about that partnership and see how they help each other and, you know, create more competition for Tesla, because as we've said many, many times, that's what we want.
I think that's a smart leg up for VW to get access to that kind of specific technology that they're obviously missing out on. And it gives them a chance to hedge their bets on what seems to be Tesla's biggest competitor as far as up and coming EV only manufacturers.
Exactly.
Not to mention the fleet, because I think we talked about it before. The fleet vehicles that Rivian is
working
on, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's part of it.
And they're pushing a lot of those out. Just wanted to give a shout out to Jay. Jay's in chat, just asking how we're all doing. Jay?
I'm coughing constantly, Jay.
Yeah. So. You're all right.
Oh, no.
Put the mute button in time. We're good.
There you go. Let's get into, I think, something that Chase can really shed some light on and give us some insight, which was the latest hurricane that kind of has gone through Texas. And it was good to see that this user or Cybertruck owner was able to use his PowerShare during this when he lost power. Yep. So just kind of showing more of, you know, the versatility and the utility of the Cybertruck. And one of the big reasons why I have been super excited to get my Cybertruck, and I was, you know, more than willing to pay the extra $20,000 for foundation, because I just wanted the vehicle, because I was excited about the fact that not only do I get my Cybertruck I waited 4 years for, but also I was toying with the idea of getting some power walls, and now with the Cybertruck, it can do that for you. So it's really cool to see that people are using it for that reason and that purpose. And this was
I think it's a great alternative to, like you're saying, someone like yourself that was looking into Powerwall and even solar as like a cheaper alternative, if you would want to say, of having that extra backup, because that's another big thing that people, especially in Florida, Houston, along the coast, really benefit from, is having, you know, Tesla solar and battery power backup in cases like this when the hurricane hits. Hurricane Beryl was interesting. We were expecting a direct hit in Austin. It veered off to the right. Basically landed in between like Corpus Christi and Houston. I know you guys don't have bearings with that, but it basically wiped out a lot of people's power in Houston. I was hearing today the Whataburger Index is a great barrier to...
In East Texas, it is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. If you look at the Whataburger app, it'll show you which Whataburgers are on.
You could probably plot devastation by the Whataburger Index.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
That's getting closer.
We love our Whataburger in Texas. And even HEB is another big like staple in Texas. They had a Hurricane Beryl colored cakes with barrel written on it. So we had
I think that anybody in Texas who knows HEB, they would say every time to describe HEB, well, bless their hearts.
Yes, exactly. Good old Herbert Butts. But yeah, Hurricane came through. A lot of people lost power. I think that's a great, great use case and a great kind of win for Elon and Tesla to show like a great example of exactly why it's good to have power share from the Cybertruck. Not also to mention, Teslas are also great in the floodwater, and that's a good segue too, because
yeah,
I do have a good friend that I know. He rents out his Cybertruck down in Houston, and even though this hurricane only was a Category 1, pretty good flooding, but he rented it out, and basically the day after the hurricane came through, so a lot of floodwaters and kind of just water in general on the roads, and the renter hydroplaned and wrecked into something. I don't know what he hit, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't using like slippery surface mode, which is kind of my first reaction. Ironically, we got a heavy downpour like the day before, or day and a half before the hurricane came through, or was supposed to hit Austin before it kind of veered off to the right. So we had some heavy rain that I was out in the Cybertruck, coming home from trying to clean it up for a rental. And I was thinking to myself, like, okay, I've got the rental pickup tomorrow. I'm going to have to, like, because we still didn't know if he was going to hit Austin or not. So I'm like, I'm going to have to, like, show them Wade mode and the slippery surface mode. So, and it was, like, downpouring rain at the time. I'm like, okay, let me just try out the slippery surface mode to get some real-world experience myself. I took it out, and I was impressed. I was shocked about how well it actually handled. There was times where I was driving along that I would have assumed in the truck, like especially in my F-150 back in the day, I would have definitely like slid or hydroplaned just a bit, where I had nothing like that in the Cybertruck. I felt like I always had full control and full power driving through rain and driving through like heavy puddles and things with a slippery surface mode. So kudos to Cybertruck and the latest over-the-air update, because that came actually with the update with the off-road capability.
Yeah.
So that was really
that's cool. Right. I remember that. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then, of course, here, yeah. Hurricane Barrel. I hope that they have Wade mode in this in this video on. But yeah, definitely a great use case to extract and get out of flood water. In a Cybertruck, so it's really great to see. And shout out to JJ from that renter. He was really excited. He put his literally the day before they showed up to pick up the truck, he put his money down to get a Cybertruck, and it was kind of a cool aside. Drove it for a day and a half. Thankfully didn't have the hurricane, so it was sunny skies and great. So it was no issue. But when we got the truck back, I was talking to him and I said, oh yeah, they just told me that I can pick it up this Saturday. He'll be getting his Cybertruck this weekend. So awesome. That's awesome experience. Sweet. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, well I was gonna mention that. We're seeing more and more of that, right?
I think they have just Foundation Series ready to go. And like if you're like, yes, here's my reservation, here's the money. And I think the key thing is you don't ask for the gray interior.
Yeah.
Then like, all right, cool, here's one. You can have it.
Yeah, so. the gray interior, we talked about that last week, right? With the fact that people who ordered the gray interior were getting emails and messages from Tesla saying, hey, if you take the white interior, we'll give it to you now, you know, and trying to entice people to take the white interior. But I don't know about you, William. I'm not sure if you've seen the gray interior up close and personal. We talked about it and showed it on the podcast last week.
It's not great.
Yeah, we're not too impressed with it.
It's like a muted white. It just doesn't.
It looks
like
a dirty white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I would much rather just like a black yeah. leather to
and
match
I,
the other black.
I think that's kind of it was probably going to be a problem considering that it's like, okay, you go from the white, and the white is just like, as far as an upholstery color, it just pops in an interior, versus a gray, yeah. you're I think it's that first reaction. Have you ever read Malcolm, was it Malcolm Gladwell? Anyway, his book, Blink. I think it was Malcolm Gladwell. Anyway, no. He wrote, basically it's all about like first reactions and initial quick second reactions. And it's like, honestly, the first time that I saw that interior gray, I was kind of like, I did this face. Because it wasn't something informing me. It was a limp handshake as far as an upholstery is concerned. You're looking at it, you're just kind of like bright pink would have been better, honestly, than just like a 18% gray kind of I just don't find a purpose for it.
Well, I brought up this screen because I found this the other day, and this Cybertruck owner did some modifications to their Cybertruck to kind of just improve the looks of it. And one of the things was the black interior. So if you look, they went proper black on all of the what would be white on our Cybertrucks.
Yeah.
And this looks really nice. This looks really, really clean. And
That looks like Battlestar Galactica. It's like Cylons. Look at that.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it last week, but I didn't realize until literally the last couple of weeks that the Alcantara is only in the Cyber Beast. And this is like an argument I got into someone. I'm like, no, there's visually nothing different between the Cyber Beast and the Dual Motor. And then I just realized after the fact, the Alcantara is only in the Cyber Beast. So, and I think it's, if I had to think of why, it's probably one physical thing that they could do that's not just the badging that could probably be faked or covered up, that they could show that, hey, you're...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Cyber Beast.
Yeah, and this gentleman or
also lady, reminds me of Cybercop. Judge Dredd, the new Judge Dredd. That's the interior.
Yeah. Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up with the floor?
Alcantara.
Did you take out the weather mats?
Yeah, it looks like they have...
Looks photoshopped.
Almost looks airbrushed.
Yeah, yeah, that looks photoshopped. Looks like they did something down there. But, I just found this and I went, that's what they should have done.
Yeah,
that's done right that. There is what everybody, I think, was looking for. But, you know, what are you going to get? I mean, what are you going to do? It is what it is. I wanted to get into something that we're always kind of mentioning on the podcast and we talk about in our group messaging, which is all the hate that people give to the Cybertruck. And
what?
Yeah.
What hate?
Chase, I know out there in Austin, everybody loves it, but in the real world, okay, there's a lot online of hate out there.
The real world online.
Yeah, the real world online. There's just constant
a flop, literally.
Yeah,
no
a
demand.
Flop, a clearance sale, dumpster fire, and you know, I was talking to you guys and just mentioning the fact that you know I was going through in anticipation of this, I was going through my YouTube comments, and it's just. Like right here, here's a comment I'm going through. Ugliest vehicle on the road today. Thanks, Xavier. This other one, waste of money. 4 exclamation marks. What else? another one that just says, nah, not me. I could go through this all night and we'll be entertained for the rest of the night just on all these people that just have something to say. But so I know you guys see a lot of that online. I'm not sure how much you guys see during the daytime, you know, when you're out and about, but
you could literally see my comment right there on this thread. Like, funny how you never see this kind of hate to our faces, and that's kind of the case. Like, I've only had one person give me a thumbs down and one person flip me off in the whatever it's now almost 6 months that I've had the truck. But the thing is even though like I've talked to so many people, and even just this last weekend when I was washing the truck, I was talking to a guy and he was like, yeah, it looks like it could just fall apart. Like, sorry, but that's like the worst he could say. But he was like really impressed about all the other things that it could do.
Yeah.
And he was like coming around to like, oh, wow, like I didn't know it could do that. Blah, blah, blah. Like there was so many things that I think it's just for the general people that are actual real people, not like just online trolls or bots or farms or whatever it is. Like there's a general like ignorance of just what it is and what it can do and why and how. That they just don't understand. But then, you know, we know how social media works, and there's plenty of people trying to short Tesla. So I'm sure there's money behind people that are literally just sitting there to like spread hate. And then people are reading that and just scrolling through and reading the headline and like, okay, it must rust. I guess it rusts now. Oh, but there's a recall. I guess it's a recall. Like they just like go on about their day.
See, I think that the Cybertruck, I think that much like you know Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, they've gone beyond our solar system and they're in interstellar space. I think the Cybertruck market in July has officially reached the point where it's a pop culture punching bag, and these are people who have never seen one in person, and I think that it's a lot of people who, you know, there's a danger. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nice Photoshop. I have always been fascinated by the way that technology can provoke emotion. Maybe it's the overlap in my you know being a kid with computers and building PCs up until you know being an artist and filmmaker, kind of seeing the overlap between those. Because you're like, how is this thing evoking such a response where it's like, it's not even like everybody who's mad at it. It's just people who are mad at whatever running into the room to take a couple of extra punches at something. And the funny thing is, it's like the internet is the most annoying megaphone. It's just this reverb cycle that makes a mouse's fart sound like a frickin' just detonation. You know, every year it's, you know, the internet was like, ah, there's a war on Christmas, Starbucks cups, they're red, you know, they're just, it's, but I was still adamant that it's like people aren't, they say people are mad about the Starbucks cups. People aren't mad. There's like five people who are mad, but they're making it sound like everybody's mad. In my time of owning my truck, I never met a hater. I only met people with questions. People who wanted a photo or had a curiosity. And to me, that is the most natural human instinct to seeing almost anything. That's just this hoi polloi aspect of our lives. You know, there's a car, there's a car, there's a car. In the words of Sin City, you know, modern cars, they all look like electric shavers. But then along comes this absolutely batshit thing. And it's got the power and the performance and the thought behind it to boot. And it's like there are people running in from like three rooms over to take a punch at this thing. And I don't think that it's the Cybertruck that they're mad at. I mean, they're probably mad at Elon. That's what they'll tell you. And it's like, okay, that's between you and him. There's a lot of other people that brought this car together. And there's a lot of other technologies that's underneath it. If you could verbalize what you're exactly mad about with the Cybertruck, then maybe that'll give people something to work on. Maybe that'll be something, oh, you know, that's a good idea. We should wrap it to tone down this or something. But if you're just taking pot shots, then please just be like, all right, fine. Just take your pot shots and move on. You know, because this is what happens. I will out myself. I was a glasshole. I had Google Glass back in the day, and I can go get it. It's in the other room. But it's, and, you know, everybody assumed that it's like, oh, you're surveilling me at all times. Yeah, where are we now where everything is being surveilled all the time? But anyway, you know, you're walking around with the thing, and like the word, people are always like, oh, glass holes. I'd punch them in the face if I ever saw it. The only interaction I had with anybody ever wearing that thing was a dude who took my picture at the airport and for some reason didn't ask me before. So he kind of just walked over and tried to like sneakily take a picture of me. And it's like, bro, like, it's fine. You want to try it? Like, I'll let you try it on. I don't give a shit. But it's just this weird, almost humanistic anti-technology thing that I see so much where people just kind of, you know, people were going apeshit over the iPhone. Apeshit over it. It's tracking.
Oh, yeah.
It's a piece of crap. It's all the stuff. And then they got one in their hands. 5 years later, everybody had one. And I think that that's kind of the legitimacy fight that the Cybertruck, I mean, 2024 is just their year to be a punching bag, I think. We'll see what happens next, but it's bizarre, but it's fascinating.
It's also, I think, because like, humans don't like change. And this is a big pivot in automotive. Like, this is something new that, that people were like, oh, you know, if they really don't like it, then go buy a Ford F1 or Ford F-150 Lightning. There you go.
Yeah.
It's the same truck you're always used to, but just an EV. It's way better than the ICE vehicle. So,
well, there's an entire Luddite level of, you know, hatred against EVs where I'm kind of like I'm like, you know, okay, I choose to drive this vehicle. You know, I choose to drive electric vehicles. I prefer to only have electric vehicles, and that's my choice, and I build my life around it. And people, for some reason, they look at you like you know, you have a PhD, or you're just like, you know, I don't know, you know, Nash from A Beautiful Mind, where it's like, no, I just charge my car in the morning. I don't have to do like complex math. I plug it in. It's not that crazy. But people think that it's that huge departure from what they're used to, and it's this huge assault on what their comfort zone is and stuff. And I'm like, bro, I fill up my car in the morning for a fifth of what you pay per mile driven. Why? Yeah,
which is super underrated.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, that I tell people every time that I have a conversation with EV potential EV buyers, I always tell them, you know that feeling in the morning? Have you ever had, you know, your phone almost at zero or it's low? And then you get to a charger, and the next day when you wake up and the phone is fully charged up, you have a little bit of appreciation. You're like, oh, cool. I can, like, this thing can work all day for me. Hell yeah, let's do it. It's the same feeling with an electric vehicle. Every freaking morning you wake up and you're like, I could literally drive to Vegas or whatever. I have a full tank. Do you remember how good it felt going to bed with a full tank, knowing you could go anywhere when it was still just an ICE vehicle? It's just such a great feeling.
That's a good point. That's a good point because yesterday, as a matter of fact, my wife, I was talking to her on the phone, and she goes, hey, I need to put gas in my car for tomorrow. And I said, okay, don't worry. Just, you know, bring it home. And, you know, when I'm done with everything I got to do, I'll take your car to the gas station. I'll fill it up, make sure you got gas for tomorrow. We're laying in bed. We're watching TV, and it hits me. Oh, I never took her car to go get gas. Right. So I like jumped up and I looked at her and she goes, what are you doing? I'm like, I never got you gas. I need to go get you gas. She goes, no, I went and got gas. Like, it's good. You're fine. But that, you know,
everybody talks panic, about the
like that moment of
everybody
like,
talks about like charging anxiety. Oh, how long does it take you to charge? And they expect you to say 45 minutes instead of 20. You know, it's like that. It's like, okay, yeah. Well, what about you? You forgot to get gas, and now you got to wake up 30 minutes earlier to make sure you're ready to go, that you can take this whole side trek to go get gas and then drive on to work. Like, that's time. That all of that is time.
Yeah.
It's not just the gas up. It's all of that is time of your life. And you're wasting it on something that literally I just plug in my garage. I've been in bed at midnight and was like, shit, I got to charge my car. Walk downstairs, plug it in. Still would do it 1,000 times over before being like, oh, I got to wake up a half an hour earlier, drive to the gas station, get this thing gassed up. Man, I hope that they're open, whatever.
Yeah.
Where's my credit card? I got to make sure all that stuff. Oh, you know, I just plug it in the garage.
Even then, like I've had times where like if we forget to plug it in and we wake up, we just like, all right, we'll just hit the supercharger. And it's like, all right, 15 minutes.
Which also, so bringing up supercharging, as I said yesterday, I drove to Baker to do a colleague a favor. And hang on just 1 second.
Yeah, save poor me. Will.
I drove 2 hours over to Baker, 2 hours back. And so I've got my Rivian. I'm supposed to be able to charge at the Tesla superchargers, but I don't have the adapter yet. And apparently I won't get it until Tesla sends it to Rivian, who then sends it to me. So that's annoying. But anyway. So I go to Baker and I'm like, okay, there's an Electrify America charging station. Every single charger there was throttled to 41 kilowatts. I'm like, if there is a spot in this EV game where Tesla has dominated since the beginning, nobody took it seriously. 8 years ago, I remember they're expanding superchargers at a crazy rate. Like, you know, my buddy was sitting literally in my Model X being like, oh yeah, well, you can't drive across country in this thing. I zoomed out the map to show him. I'm like, which way would you like to drive across country? Because I can show you 10 different ways and never drive the same highway and cross this country doing only supercharger stops. Nowadays, I go to a charging station with 8 chargers and all of them are throttled to 40 kilowatts. And 10 feet away is the Tesla supercharger in Baker with, I think, 80-some stalls installed. And all of them are filled, or most of them are filled. Probably about 60 to 70% of them are filled, and they're charging at full power, full rates. And I'm like, oh my god, Tesla owns this. Like nobody holds a candle to Tesla's infrastructure for charging their cars. I don't care how fast the Porsche can charge. I don't care how awesome the Hummer looks. I don't care. Tesla is owning this. Yeah. There's a reason why the NACS has become the national standard, and why everybody's going to be using Tesla supercharging.
Well, that's exactly why my wife and I have preferred Tesla over any other EVs. Previous to everybody getting on board with NACS. But if I went and asked my wife right now, hey, let's go get you a new EV tomorrow. What do you want? Because she's not really familiar with all of the NACS information. She's going to go Tesla, and I'm going to go, why? If I asked her why, she's going to go, because it's supercharged. Easy. It's simple. Mm-hmm. It's easy. She's had other EVs that weren't Teslas, and she hated. She goes, half of those chargers never work. I show up. It's not working. I got to find another charger. And obviously now Rivian and Ford and I know GM's going that way as well. Everybody eventually is going to go NACS. And so, you know, then at that point, you know.
Yeah, I was just absurd because also the thing to mention is that so Tesla superchargers, they charge you by the kilowatt hour while connected and then an idle fee at the tail end if you don't disconnect within 5 minutes of finishing charging. The Electrify America has the balls to charge a session fee if you don't have a membership. Now, I have a membership because I'm a nerd and I sign up for things way too much. But I'm imagining somebody else who's pulling in there to pay 56 cents per kilowatt hour. 56 cents. That's even higher than the like peak charge at most Tesla superchargers. And then also pay a per minute charge for the session fee. I'm like, why? Really? Like literally 10 feet away, I'd be charging over there if I had the frickin' adapter. But I didn't. But I will. And I'm like, this is why Tesla's kicking the pants out of everybody. Because every other attempt to monetize this is charge point chargers who want to charge like $1 a kilowatt hour. Something ridiculous. I'm like, it's electricity, not plutonium. The hell?
Well, Jay's in chat, and he's mentioning the fact that he has a Model X that has lifetime free charging.
Oh, legend.
He says there's a supercharger 1.1 miles from his house. And so he does most of his charging there. But he makes a good point. He says superchargers are not cheap anymore.
Good point.
Which is true. I have right here, I did a supercharging session on Monday. And I got charged 52 cents a kilowatt hour.
Oof.
Yeah.
Typically, it's like 35.
Yeah. It's 52 cents was my charge. I did some supercharging. Actually, did two supercharging sessions that day because I was driving a lot. And another location that I was at earlier in the day was 43 cents. So definitely not as cheap as it used to be. But when you need it, you need it, right? You need to stop and
well, do some charging. And that's kind of one of those. I think it's not necessarily fair to. I think that there was a time when supercharging was viewed as an emergency. It was a, oh, you're not going to make it home. Pull over here, do a fast charge or whatever. Or you're doing a road trip. Those were the two options. Whereas I'm like, honestly, they're literally just stopgaps. They're just ways to keep you moving to at least get you home to charge or get to the intended destination to charge. And I want to say it was like 2016 or 2017. May have been different Elon at the time. But I remember Musk specifically saying, he's like, we never intended superchargers to be a major profit center for this business. It's meant to facilitate the vehicles, not to be a huge profit center. And imagine that considering their constant expansion of supercharger locations, that's where all that money goes to with some of the price. But it is kind of still a kick in the pants to know what your peak pricing is in a certain neighborhood or a certain area or what's the likely utility, and knowing that they're still charging you like 12 cents per kilowatt hour on top of it. Because for some reason, it just kind of pangs you, I think, as greedy. At that moment, you're just like, you know, I'm already on the network. I'm already paying per kill. You know, imagine if there was surge charging at gas stations, you know, or yeah. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Sorry, it's after 5. We're super busy. It's an extra 30 cents per gallon, something like that. You know?
Yeah. But here's a concern that I have is the fact that I don't know if you guys remember, but I got that 1 year free supercharging a few weeks back. I got that email because of the PowerShare not being available to me at, you know, the utility denied it or whatever the case is, delayed it. So I went on Monday, like I said, I supercharged and I still got billed and charged for it. So I'm not going to sit on the phone for 4 hours to talk to Tesla about this. But I feel like that needs to be refunded.
Yeah. I mean, you should call that. I mean, that's kind of one of those, I mean, it's sad to say, but phone calls don't go as effectively as sometimes just the right email to the right person. But of course, the challenge is finding the right person. But I mean, I feel like that's probably a simple oversight, because I remember that my first Tesla, the 2017 Model X, I had free supercharging for some duration. I think it was like a year or something like that. And I do remember looking at the invoices and seeing that you would be billed it. And then it would be reversed. It's not like it would never show up on the account. I'm just imagining that somebody just needs to go into your account and be like, okay, he's supposed to have comp supercharging, so it just reverses the charge each time it happens. Their accounting keeps track of the charges so that they know how much they're supercharging cars, but then they just negate the cost as so that it's not billed to you, but or it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I need to reach out to somebody, but that's another issue. I don't know.
I gotta go real quick. BRB.
You know. Tomorrow. Yeah.
You can see for reference, on average, it's about 14 cents per kilowatt hour out here in Texas, which is like home electricity, if not lower in some areas.
So yeah, 14 cents at superchargers?
No, at home.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. It's super easy. Like, honestly, I noticed. I would say maybe like a $30 to $40 difference a month. Probably more just like $30 a month difference charging the truck at home every month for electric, which is, I feel like, is not talked about enough of like the actual cost at home having, you know, a proper charger in the garage compared to, you know, just going to the gas station. Like I had this conversation with my neighbor because he's got a diesel truck that, you know, he could spend, you know, 150, almost 200 bucks to fill that thing up. And then it only lasts maybe like a week or two, but not even 2 weeks, definitely a week, maybe in a week and a half. Yeah, it's just a huge cost that I think people are not really fully aware of the
benefit. And it's funny that we're talking about all this because I'm actually right now going to be having a video come out probably. I don't think it'll come out this weekend. It'll probably be next week. But when it comes out, it's going to be pretty much cost of ownership between my Ram and the Cybertruck. And I'm really breaking it all down, right? I'm doing the insurance costs, I'm doing maintenance costs, I'm doing, you know, the monthly payment, and I'm doing, which, you know, I think is the thing I think most people want to hear about, which is the gas versus energy. So yeah, I'm going to be breaking that all down and showing that in a video, upcoming video. So that'll be,
yeah. And I was actually concerned because we're pretty far away. Like, I think we're like 20 plus minutes away from the closest supercharger, like pretty far out of town. And yeah, we just have the V2 charger in the garage, and that's it. And we just plug it in every day. Wait, or
how
every
far
other
is
day.
The supercharger?
Like 25 minutes away.
Yeah.
Like, it would take me about 2% to get there, roughly. I mean, if say it was like down to 10.
Eric, where's your nearest supercharger?
So it's, I don't know. It's down the street. I don't even need to go on the freeway.
Nice. Yeah, I've got an urban charger in a shopping center parking lot near me, but it's like only 72 kilowatts.
Yeah, it's shocking how, because it's the one in Cedar Park, Texas, and there's only one for Cedar Park and Leander and Liberty Hill where I'm at, and that the in between is Liberty or Leander is like one of the hottest zip codes for quite a few years now. Like, it's insane how many people are moving here, and it's insane how many Teslas we see on the road this far outside of Austin. Yeah, we only have one supercharger with like 10 stalls, 12 stalls maybe.
Jeez.
Yeah, but one of the smaller ones.
But most people just have the charger in their house, and that's all you need.
That's really, you know, for the most part, that's all you really need. But
yeah,
you know, yeah. But I mean, even like you were talking about the cost at home. I mean, Jay, once again, he's in chat, and he says that that he's paying what is it, 24 cents a kilowatt hour. I see Will's in there talking about. Your peak pricing is
42 cents per kilowatt hour. Yeah.
Jeez.
But I mean, I'm on one of the OG time of use prime plans where I think my peak starts at 4. It's so between 4 and 9, and it's 42 cents per kilowatt hour. And if I had chosen like 5 to 9 or some narrower window, the price would have been even higher.
Yeah,
I don't mean to brag, but it might actually be lower because I do see our power company that we use as the base price starts at basically 6 cents.
Oh no, Texas pricing is insane. You know, you guys have to fight for life, you know, through most of the winter. But yeah, oh my God, the pricing I saw. My sister lived in Pflugerville. Oh my God, the prices that I saw at her utilities. I'm like, I would run a Bitcoin farm here and just like cash checks. Hell yeah.
So yeah, it's no wonder that like I can't drive anywhere without seeing a Tesla because everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. But also, it's important to say that we have like an open market. Most places in Texas, you have your plethora of choices of power companies. You can choose whoever's going to give you the best rate.
Where
most places you only have like the one. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I'm looking at my bill right now because now we're talking about
how much am I spending.
Because
I'm doing that video, so I'm breaking this all down, but I didn't have it off the top of my head. Yeah, I mean, my off peak is in the high 30s, and that's when I'm charging.
Yeah, it's the time of use plans for SoCal Edison. I don't know PG&E, but I know SoCal Edison. Their time of use plans for EV owners just is what makes sense. So I highly recommend take a look at that.
Yeah, I'm on time of use, but they've changed it so many times on me. Even though I was like grandfathered in, supposedly. But then once they figured out I had solar panels and all that, they just like they kept changing it on me. So I even changed the times of the off peak and peak and all that stuff. But Anyways, so anybody that's interested in that, I'm going to have a video coming out about the cost of ownership for myself of the Ram compared to the Cybertruck. But moving on, I seen this the other day that I thought was really cool because it's something that I was interested in for my wife, because we were talking about getting her a different car at one point. And the Model Y refresh. So somebody spotted this, and you can see the Model Y is covered up in the back, the rear, and the front, kind of prompting the idea that this is the refresh version. I mean, it even looks like in the front, it seems like it's a little slimmer. If you look like in this area, there's some straight lines and some.
I was tempted to do the same thing, but I'm like, wait, they literally covered those things with those weird gowns to try to make you make the wrong assumptions about things.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. But nonetheless, I mean, why would they cover this up if it's an old version? So I'm pretty sure it's going to be the new refresh. So that's cool that they're out testing and I know that we're getting closer, because what they said at the end of the year or next year.
Yes, it's going to be next year, because Elon actually tweeted about this. They're like, it's not going to come this year. Stop talking about it. It hurts the brand. Yada yada yada. It's like, well, okay.
They've been trying to unload the current Model Ys, right?
It's funny when Elon says it's going to be next month, then it's going to like take a year. But then when people are like, it's coming now, and people are like, no.
Give it an hour.
It's like the inverse seat.
we have some news on full self-driving. So just, what was it today? I think it was today. The, news of 12.5, that's the wrong one, but 12.5 is imminent, right? And they're talking about, stacking the city and highway software, just kind of giving it some, what would you say? Smoothness, I guess, into the full self-driving. It was a funny thing when we were off air and we were talking about this, and I, you know, Google searched FSD 12.5. First thing that came up was it's coming to Cybertruck at the end of June, and I know we talked about that last week, Chase, about we're not in June anymore, and we still
don't have it.
Yeah. So, yeah. How do you guys feel about this?
I think that this is usually where the people who follow Tesla the longest, they're like, you know, honestly, so for your link being like, it's coming in June, I've been like, but he didn't say what year. But the fact that he's recognizing the 12.5 is going to be the unification of the stacks. I will say,
yeah.
I have lived through the Elon pitch, the Elon optimistic forward thinking statements about unification of some aspect of FSD. It's going to be, you know, getting rid of the C++ code. It's going to be unifying the 360-degree video to then be able to, you know, transport, and all vehicles will be using FSD off of that. I'm like, you know, I think that everybody's seeing we're at 12.4.3. I mean, then 12.5 is like right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like an hour from now, right? Like, which I'll be back. I am big grain of salt. I think 12.5 might be longer than just what people's initial reaction would be, especially since some of the struggles they had, I think, bringing 12.4 to people. Because, I mean, I thought that it got kicked back at least once or twice from the employee rollout, which is why it's at probably at 0.3, I guess. I don't know. But I'm once again, grain of salt. I'm super happy for you guys the moment you guys get it. But it's kind of one of those, you know, they're not saying things and people are making a lot of assumptions. So.
Well, I know when Elon first tweeted saying that Cybertruck owners were going to get it at the end of June, you know, that was a topic of discussion, right? So we're talking about it. And, in that conversation, it comes up about 8-8, right? Robotaxi day. So here's the question, where we are less than a month away from Robotaxi 8-8, right? Unveiling. Are we going to have any type of autonomous driving in the Cybertruck before then? What do you guys think?
60-40. I would put my money on 60, but...
Wait, we're going to have autonomy before the Robotaxi event on August 8th, or before...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the question. No. I mean, if Elon's plan was to have it by the end of June, and we haven't done that, can he produce that six weeks later, before we get to Robotaxi?
No.
I mean, we already know that 12.4 is in the hands of like release candidate Cybertrucks, so it's there. So I would assume that it would be ready to at least 12.4 roll out, but 12.5 maybe not.
And the release candidates, how long have they had that roughly? Would you say?
If I had to speculate, maybe like a month. Like, it's not very long. It seems like it happened fairly soon.
Hope so, man.
I just whenever I
mean, yeah,
I think it would be
whenever I see them sum up something that sounds like a huge advancement for what their software is, it's never as simple as, oh, that's like tomorrow, it'll be here in like an hour. It's already there, you know. It's one of those things where I think people see, okay, so it's a unification of the stacks between, you know, highway and city driving, and I'm like, that sounds complex. That sounds like a lot of verification and checks and things, and we're still hearing about 12.4 getting for full validation and people driving it. I feel like the first that we would hear about 12.5 is 12.5 is going out to Tesla employees. And then we'll hear about, you know, so we may hear, oh, you know, 12.5 is already going to employees as a huge thing. But even that doesn't seem like it has the kind of, I mean, today's the 10th. We're less than a month away from the Robotaxi day, the 8-8 thing. So I'm like, just knowing the how slowly Tesla goes when it's important, when it's something like this, I just don't think that they have the ability to kind of whip it through.
A fun little aside. So the rental I just talked about earlier with JJ, they actually showed up with 12.4 that's been released out to vehicles now, right? The non-Cybertrucks. Mm-hmm. They had their Model S drive themselves to the rental pickup, which is really cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. But yeah, if I had to guess, I would maybe say that like 8-8 would be a great date for them to hit, no matter what, to get that out to Cybertrucks, because I feel like that would be an easy thing to be like, hey, oh, and by the way, Cybertrucks, get it today, you know, or get at least 12.4. But 12.5, I don't know if we'd see that in that time frame. I think maybe by fall or by the end of the year, for sure. I think it would be good.
Yeah, I just want something. I mean, I would just take autopilot.
Yeah.
Which we've already said, I don't think that's even going to be a thing.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's just going to be
I thought that was a part of the Twitter conversation that people were like, well, what happens to everybody? If it's a unification of everything under 12.5, yeah, what happens to enhanced autopilot drivers who are technology locked behind full self-driving where it is? You know, they can't get that.
Put yourself in their shoes. Like, what if they launched the Cybertruck, you know, earlier this year with enhanced autopilot, and then what, 8 months later, they just rip it away and they're like, nah, you can't use that anymore. It's just full self-driving. So, like, it makes more sense why they would just be like, no, it's not available yet.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, sorry, Jay. He's going to Vegas, and he was hoping to get his FSD before then. So I apologize. But
my main thing, like, I just realized that there's like better ways to like take dash cam videos. So I've set it up so that, and this is like, you know, I'm getting more in depth of just like early Tesla owner stuff. Like, I set it up so like if I honk, you know, it does a dash cam recording, but also making sure that like my dash cam is always there so I can easily like tap it if there's something, I see something. Because there's always like our area is expanding, like I said, the zip code just south of us is one of the biggest expanding ones in the country. And so drivers are getting insane and our infrastructure is not capable of it. So right before our neighborhood, there's actually like an intersection that goes from like a 2-lane highway down to a 1. And that merge is always like a shit show. And it's, you know, 55-mile-an-hour merge into 1 lane. And people always like wait until the last minute, and it's a merge to the right. Signs say it everywhere, but everyone just does it poorly. But I'm very curious to see, and I'll definitely report back with videos of how FSD will actually handle that in certain situations, because I'm very excited to see. But in the meantime, all I get to do is hit the dash cam button anytime I see some asshole like just do stupid stuff. Or the thing is, like, that's another thing. Sorry to take more time on this, but I guess in Texas, technically, it's legal to use the shoulder as a passing lane or a pseudo turning lane. I don't know. That's a whole another gripe of mine. So people were like, if it's one lane, someone stopped to turn left. They don't. It's an unprotected left turn. People will just go over the shoulder and pass them. At full speed. We're talking about like 55, 60 miles an hour. People keep passing them. So if you can imagine if someone like waits to the last minute and just whips around, you have very little reaction time to make sure you either stop or whip around too. So crazy. Already one person has died at two of the locations that I'm griping about. Jesus. So
jeez. But you guys have low energy costs. So.
Texas, WTF, mate.
I mean, it makes up for it. It's the sacrifices that people are making for our low energy.
I mean, that much access to Whataburger and Torchy's tacos, I might consider it.
I mean, it is.
There
literally
you go.
Have Torchy's down the street.
Or die. Queso is the best.
It's within.
They need to be
minutes.
Selling that queso in supermarkets. That stuff is amazing. I know, but they don't have them out here. They have them, I think, at HEB.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they do.
I don't know anything about the queso, but it sounds amazing.
8-8, come out.
It's worth it for just for the queso, man.
Well, we're waiting for the invite, Chase. We're waiting for the invite.
I'm keeping my ear to the ground.
Speaking of crazy and destruction, how about this?
Jeez.
Cybertruck that was found in what I never knew existed, which is the deserts of China.
Exactly.
They got them.
There's
the Jeep that they just panned to also just had a similar fate.
Yeah. But there's this Cybertruck that is just demolished.
Wonder if that's my truck.
It quite possibly could be. I mean, we have no idea what happened there, but something definitely happened and they just abandoned it, left it there.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the wiper even.
It's crazy. I mean, so granted, face value, the driver is probably recording it right now. Definitely walked away. We know that for sure. But what's interesting, like that's a feat in itself. What's interesting is that not much of the top is crumpled, which this doesn't really have much of a roll bar. But the fact that it rolled and it's still intact is very impressive.
It's
that's a good thing.
I believe it's a regulation for all vehicles built in the U.S. One of the streetworthiness standards is that the roof needs to be able to support twice the weight of the vehicle. So that's like all vehicles. So I'm like, all right, well, every time I see a car, but you know, seeing Teslas, it's more interesting because it's the triangle. So you're like, you know, you just, you know, dug in or you're like stuck, but it's still doing a great job. And it's literally the peak of the pyramid. So strongest spot.
What that would be like. What,
Yeah. That's what they got to be rated to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's impressive, but it's also funny to see like all the hate in the comments. Like we were just saying with that. It's like, well, Cybertrucks, you know, it's supposed to be like, I literally, someone was like, it's supposed to be the toughest. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, nobody's out here saying, like,
what's
you're literally
claim,
like complaining.
Right?
You're talking about A, driver error, because clearly, why are you driving up a dune like that? And then B, you're doing something any other truck would probably do even worse in a rollover.
I mean, there's a Jeep at the bottom of the hill that obviously got up. So, I mean, surely this desert doesn't care if it's Musk's car.
It's a dumb argument, but that's a great segue to other sand.
Greedy sand.
Yeah, so this was a video that which I think Chase shared with us.
One.
Yeah, and kind of giving some tips on, you know, if you're going to be going out to the sand and you want to make sure that your Cybertruck doesn't get stuck in the sand, this would be a great video to watch to get some advice and tips on how to do that.
I got to respect his tag game, but Eric, does Bearded Tesla have you blocked or something? What's going on there?
Well,
that's
you
the only that? One that's not linked.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, yeah, it's, right here, yeah, he had a really great video. This is 11 minutes long. It's definitely worth giving a shot. He has a great shot of his steaks that he was cooking on an electric griddle out there on the beach. I mean, it's well good content and only put on X, so that's it's going to make Elon very happy. But essentially, TLDW of this essentially is we've seen a lot of videos of Cybertrucks getting stuck in sand, and that's kind of an ongoing joke. It'd be like, oh, Cybertruck got stuck. You know, there's even like a Cyberstuck, you know, Reddit thread that all it is just 100,000 people just shitting on Cybertrucks. So if you're watching this and hating on Cybertruck, go find your people. They're over there.
They're ready for you. They welcome you.
You can go scream in the void. But essentially what he was doing, and it was kind of interesting, and my question there, you can kind of see in the video just slightly, is he lowered down the air pressure down to about 22 PSI, roughly, anywhere from like 20 to 24 PSI, which is, in my mind, like very low. But also, I didn't grow up around beaches or taking trucks onto beaches, so this guy is a New Jerseyan. Does this a lot, so he definitely has the experience for this. And yeah, had a great experience to be able to go through all the sand with, you know, air down tires, which I am guaranteeing all these other ones that are getting stuck are not doing. Yeah. They're just taking their truck right out into the beach and saying, all right, let's go, and then gunning it. But has a lot of experience. And yeah, it's at zero trouble going through sand, very thick sand. And the only kind of like question, and this actually just came up within like the last like couple hours, is that Wes, one of the engineers, had mentioned when they went through some Baja sand out in Utah, they had recommended to air down to about 35 PSI. And they said that they had good success doing aggressive, quote unquote, aggressive driving through sand. Without any trouble at 35 PSI. So I guess the main takeaway here is if you're going to be aggressive in sand or have like not as deep sand, air down to 35 PSI. If you're just going to be going out and cruising nothing more than 25 miles an hour, definitely go down to about 22 because it's going to give you a lot better traction through deep sand. Which is great. I definitely bookmark that. That's huge.
100%. Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep that video on hand because I potentially might be hitting some dunes in this weekend. And so if I do, then you know that's some good information.
And you have a compressor too, so it's
exactly
even better. Which exactly. Shout out to New Jersey. I guess that park that he went to, they have compressors on hand at the park. So he literally came off of the beach and just used the community compressor, just geared back up, and he was good to go.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Cool. Makes a lot of sense. Before we wrap up, we have one late addition to our list of things to kind of talk about, and that was Sawyer just about an hour ago tweeting out that in the month of June, the Cybertruck was the best-selling vehicle in the U.S. priced over 100,000. So that's not EV, that's just vehicle. I mean, it's not surprising to me, but I think that would surprise some and anger a lot.
Oh, yeah. Given fact. Inflation, the economy, the way it is right now. Yeah, it's definitely...
That is impressive.
Yeah. It states that the average transaction price was a little less than $113,000, with more than 3,200 units sold.
I kind of like Elon's response down there. Cool. Like, oh my god, cool. Dude.
Yeah.
Show us the human emotion. Do it. Cool.
So that was cool to see that that as we know, Cybertrucks are selling, and you know, it was the number one vehicle over $100,000. So that's really,
I think, cool. That goes to show that like people understand the value there, that they're willing to like get in early. You're like, okay, I'll bite the bullet, I'll take it. But I think, and we kind of dabbled on it a little bit about full self-driving, and you were kind of mentioning before the pod as well that people have been asking, and even my neighbors were asking too about like the price of full self-driving and is it worth it. They're like, is it worth it? And then my answer and my kind of sentiment right now is that we have to wait until August 8th, because I think that's going to really kind of solidify what the value is going to be. Like when we hear their plans for robotaxi as well as just full self-driving in general, I think that's going to be telling.
Well, I appreciate you saving me on that, because I wanted to bring that up. We talked about that before we went on air, but Carlos Gomez 6230 yesterday sent me a comment and asked me a question in regards to one of the videos I posted. And the question was, he states, asking now, since the cost of full self-driving has been cut to $8,000, would you still consider the Foundation Series a worthy upcharge? And I didn't answer him. I try to answer everybody that comments, even the crazy people. And I didn't answer him because I wanted to talk about it on the pod. And so, and I also wanted to ask you guys, like, do you guys consider now that they reduced the price of full self-driving, is the $20,000 upcharge still, is it still worth it? For me, there's a lot of factors. There's a lot of things that went into it. Obviously, starting my channel, doing content, meeting new people like you guys, and doing what we do, I would say 100% it's worth it to me. Yeah. If it wasn't because of all this, if I was just getting the truck, putting it in my garage, and I'm just using it every day, mm-hmm. I think be really upset with the fact that the full self-driving was reduced to what we know as $12,000 to $8,000. So I mean, to answer that question for me, I would say I'm okay with it still. But I could see why somebody else, just a normal consumer of the vehicle, would you know, be a little irked by that and probably look at it and go, it's not worth it.
Then I'll give us something to talk about, because I will say this. Foundation Series, I think there's a bit of fair amount of rose-colored glasses for the Foundation Series owners, and I will say that I'm disappointed in Tesla for the idea, for this one point. I feel like there's enough people who've kind of admitted the Cybertruck seems like they're selling it before they were ready to sell it. And I would have thought that the Foundation Series inclusion would have meant more to Tesla. Because it's a significant amount of money to you guys, which most of it can be monetized and kind of ticked off to, okay, so it's a significant amount of full self-driving. You're going to get early access to a vehicle that most people won't be able to get for another year. I mean, there's enough there that it substantiates it when you're looking at it up front. But the trouble that Eric has had with trying to get an answer about his kind of money coming back that from this power share debacle about, you know, he already got the one voucher, but he should deserve more compared to what others are getting. I'm sorry. You know, if they've sold 3,000 vehicles in June, and by my math, it's like they've only sold like less than 20,000 of these vehicles, there should be somebody near a phone who can answer some of these questions for you guys. And it's just kind of frustrating to see, especially when Tesla has obviously shown that it's like, okay, they're not as committed to the luxury segment, or at least what people imagine as the luxury segment anymore with what they're making. But if they're going to offer something that has a luxury vibe, a limited series implication to it, you'd think that they would at least have the first year figured out to make sure that you guys felt like rock stars because you joined them on the journey of releasing this vehicle. So it's a little disappointing to see. I feel now if I could get like a Foundation Series discount, I could monetize it to probably within a couple of $1,000s. But I do think that it's a little flagrant that you've got people in your situation where, you know, or even in my situation with the lug nuts was one thing, but whatever. The situation that you've been facing with not being able to just get something as simple as a clear answer. I mean, 20,000 customers. I bought and sold my Cybertruck. I've got a Tesla wall charger sitting in my garage that was the $700 rebate that, as far as Tesla's concerned, they probably wouldn't care hail of beans about. Because obviously they haven't come back to me and be like, oh, you sold your Cybertruck, give us the wall charger back. Nobody seems to have cared about it. So that kind of thing can slip through the cracks, and it's like, that doesn't give me a good vibe either, because I feel like there's something incomplete in the thought process of all this. And I really just, I hate seeing kind of a scuffed process for this, especially for people who took the risk with Tesla right now. So it's just a little disappointing. Now, does that mean that I think the Foundation Series, the $20,000 premium, should be zero? No. I mean, at this point, you still get a fair amount of access. You get a fair amount of things logistically and you know, as far as what you're purchasing out of it, there's some value to it. Do I think that it's the current $20,000? No. But I'm willing to see it go back to that $20,000 if somebody would just pick up the phone and call Eric. But that's just me.
I think you're definitely right. I think they missed white glove experience that they should have, you know, really had, you know. And I think if anything, if I had 50,000 on the line for a Roadster, I would be more sweating seeing that experience, you know, spending 20K for 4 hours on customer service. So I would definitely be sweating it there. But I think what's interesting. So we did talk about it last week while you're out. We did, or at least I got another voucher, by the way, for $1,800. So they did make good on the $1,500 mm-hmm. credit. So I initially got the $700, got an email. They're like, oh, here's another voucher for $1,800. So I'm back up to the $2,500 credit. What sucks, though, about that is that I have to use one voucher per purchase. So, like, if I do want to, like, go buy the Cyber Tent, I'm still a little bit more money out of pocket than I would have been if I had the $2,500, but either way, I'll take it. I definitely appreciate it either way. I still don't have my light bar from T-Sportline. Looking at you.
Looking at you, T-Sportline.
They're working off of Elon time too. So.
They're very much Elon time. I don't know if it's Elon time or whoever they're getting it from.
Yeah, but the difference between Elon time is like you get like 95% of the thing that you bought up front, and then you're waiting on the 5% later. T-Sport Line currently has this man waiting for 100% of what he ordered and paid for.
Exactly. Yeah.
And pay for it. They have my money. Initially, they were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be by July. It was end of June, and now it's early July, and now it's July 11th in Texas. So
tomorrow, you maybe wake up on your front porch.
What's early July? And I haven't heard anything about shipping or anything like that, so we'll see. But yeah, I definitely agree. I think if anything, I think a lot of questions will be answered when Robotaxi and all that detail comes out, because then that'll really kind of solidify full self-driving for what I'm speculating a lot of Teslas. Because right now you can go find like a used Model 3 for 2 years old, 3 years old for under 20K even in certain places. Like it's shocking how easily you can get into a Tesla right now. That may or may not even have full self-driving capability. So it'll be interesting to see. But my main thing is going to be watching the retail prices of all Teslas across the board before and after 80.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting, August 8th. We'll see what happens. But moving on, let's get into the segments that we call What Were They Thinking? And Wrap of the Week. And so
What Were They Thinking? Unless you have one.
I was going to use the... Here, I'll show you. This one.
What?
Yeah, okay. Also, what
I've tried. Oh my gosh.
Or it's from China EV English Lyft, whatever VX.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's in China or not.
They got me blocked too because I can't put them. But Yeah, I don't know what happened here.
Like, there's so many questions.
I can't figure it out. So that's why it won. What were they thinking? Because you don't see any damage on the railing up above. Chase, prior to the show, mentioned maybe they backed in from the street over here. Let me see if I can pause it.
Because there's no
see
way
over here, could, like, but you see the railing back there, and it seems like it's lower.
And there doesn't seem to be any concrete to that brickwork or anything. So, I mean, it looks like they tried to hit the throttle to try and get it dislodged, which kicks some of the dirt and refuse under the back left wheel.
Yeah, down here.
Unless it caught air and landed there? I don't know. Like,
I bet there's some distance forward of that vehicle where it backed into it aggressively and then, you know, the one wheel just fell off and they hit the brake and freaked out and now they can't get it back up on it or something.
Well, this is the comment right here. But how? This is where I'm at.
How?
But how?
How,
that's
though?
That's the question. Like, it boggles my mind. So
literally, like, popped into our plane of existence into that space and we're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah. So that is the, what were they thinking for this week? Because I just don't know what the heck happened there. But and then for the wrap of the week, we have a really cool one. Let me pull this one. This was going to be the wrap of the week last week, but because of the holiday, 4th of July, we had to go with a very patriotic wrap. But here we go.
This one I do like.
So, yeah, Royalty Wrap, I've met these guys. They actually want to do my potential next wrap. And everything that I've seen from them, they've done some really cool
That's really cool sick wraps. Weapon.
And this is, yeah, this That's is nice one tag. Of the one of the really cool ones. So, big ups to them. That Cybertruck owner, I'm sure, is thrilled with the job that they did, and I'm hoping I see this in person at some point.
This is a makes it just kind of reminds me that I really want to like look into getting like a legit underglow setup for my truck. This one would benefit from like a get a red or bright orange underglow as well to mimic that. That's so cool.
Yeah, speaking of underglow, so I have some overlanding lights. Like, as you guys know, I have the RGB light bar on the front of mine from SW Lights, and we're actually trying to set up a time for him to do the RGB and the headlights, and then I have some cool off-roading lights, some puck lights and ditch lights and all these different lights that they're going to hook up for me and put on. But he was asking me if I wanted to be the first in the world, maybe I shouldn't say this, but to be the first in the world.
Well, Tom Holland, are you spoiling RGB, something right now that you're not supposed to be talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. RGB, truck bed lights. So he asked me about that and I said, hell yeah. And then he wants to throw some underglow. But the concern for me, and this is what I explained to him, my concern is if I'm going to be doing off-roading, I'm concerned that the RGB or the lighting underneath might get damaged, and then I got to deal with that. So I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do with that yet. But
find out type of underglow setup they're looking for, because I'm definitely in the market looking to see, because I'd love to do that as well. And I'm curious to see where it would hook into, because the only thing I think of is maybe hooking into the power in the frunk, kind of routing it up through there. Because then the frunk power has a switch as well, and then my top switch would be for the light bar.
Yeah, for your wonderful light bar that you've been enjoying the last month.
I know, it's been great. I purchased it like
4 months. I think we've been talking about it for a while now.
It's in theory, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to that. There's another thing there. The LED lights it's kind of a topic that we've been talking about too, because since it's now July 11th, it's past July 4th, so now we're in official spooky season.
True.
So it's basically Halloween.
It's Halloween right now. pumpkin spice latte, get them out.
Figure out what's it. Exactly. We've been trying to figure out what to do with the Cybertruck for around the neighborhood for Halloween. So we've got some ideas. We may, I think I might sit on them. I probably won't share just yet, but there's a lot of really cool things you can do with all the power and lights that are in the bed. I think we're going to try to make that a part of the Halloween experience for Cybertruck.
See, he's able to keep his lips tight and not disclose too much information. Not like me.
I'll tell you guys after we hit pause.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I had, guys. You guys have anything else?
I got to adjust the tip.
That's it.
All right.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to make this quick. All right. So you guys have Teslas. So you have cabin protection, cabin heat protection. All right. Rivians kind of do. They only have cabin heat protection that kicks in if the vehicle is so hot that the displays will be damaged. That's like over 140 degrees.
Okay.
So for the most part, the car will stay cooler than 140 degrees, which is fine for displays, but it's terrible for humans. So I wanted a climate protection that I could control. I am a Home Assistant user. I have a Home Assistant instance running upstairs. But I want to be able to automate my control over my car, which Rivian does not allow you to do. They do have an API and a Rivian integration that's unofficial. But the trick is you have to get your car, your Home Assistant integration set up as a phone key. To do that, instead of just having the username and password like Tesla, where it just exposes all the API endpoints so you could just issue endless commands at it as long as you have an SSO token, a refresh token, Rivian has the added layer of security that you have to have a Bluetooth connection to the first to set something up as a phone for the first time. So I spent several days learning how ESP32 Bluetooth proxies worked so that I could integrate my Home Assistant to my Rivian. It took me a week to get it to work correctly. But I am proud to say, after all of that mind-numbing information, I now have an integration running where I can actually like keep my car cool and automate it from my phone and my Home Assistant. Something I shouldn't have to do, but I just love doing hacker shit like that, or just, I guess, DIY crap. I guess it's not really hacking, but, or maybe it is, I don't know. But
this would be a video.
I would have been happy to do an entire video if I had just had time to explain how angry I was. But the good news is now that I have an automation running on my Rivian where it will kick on the air conditioning and vent the windows when it reaches 120 degrees and plummet it down to 100 degrees, at which point it'll kick it back off again. And so that's for the safety of me and everybody trying to get into my car when it's 100 goddamn degrees outside and the inside of the car is 120. And, you know, my daughter has to sit in the freaking car seat and not have her ass absolutely burned off. So that's all the steps and the stuff that I learned about. So if anybody wants to learn about ESP32, ESP Home integrations to Home Assistant, I've learned a lot about it. So I'm happy to help you guys with it. But anyway, my car can do that now.
And how can they reach you, Will? How can they
tag me here? I don't know. I mean, you know, just is there a bat signal? You know, is there, like, it's like a weed cannabis spotlight and I'm just like, I'll come running. I don't know. No, it's honestly, it's one of those cool things that it's like back in the day with Tesla, I used to think about kind of fun ways to hack that because my Model X is a 2019 that it isn't eligible for the phone key. And so I spent so much time trying to figure out cool hacks to make it so that my phone would automatically unlock my car, but it still required an LTE connection. This automation still requires it, but there's a part of me that's kind of like, this is the kind of DIY stuff that's kind of fun to do with some of these cars. You can't do this with a Buick. You have to have an API that has a tracking on the location and knows the interior temperature and whether to vent the windows or not. So it's really cool stuff. That's the tip with Will.
There you go. There you go. All right, guys.
All right.
Have a good night. Thank you, Jay.
Later,
Jay. Everyone. Appreciate it.